Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam
Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasa Tato Jayamudiraya Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text Number 36. This is a prose verse, so I'm going to read it myself. Sa evam aparimita bala parakrama ekada tu devarshi charananushayananu patita guna visarga samsargana nirvittam evatmanam nanyamana Atmanirveda idam aha. Please repeat after me. Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Aparimita.
Aparimita.
Unparalleled.
Bala.
Strength.
Strength.
Parakramaha.
Whose influence?
Ekada.
Once upon a time.
To
then.
Deva Rishi.
Of the great saint.
Narada. Charana Anushayana.
Surrendering.
Unto the lotus feet.
Anu,
thereafter. Patita, fallen down. Guna Visarga, with material affairs. Created by the three modes of material nature. Samsargena, by connection. Anirvritam, not satisfied. Eva, like. Atmanam, himself. Manyamanaha,
thinking like that.
Atma, self. Nirvedaha,
possessing renunciation.
Idam, this. Aha,
said.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. While enjoying his material opulences with full strength and influence, Maharaj Priyavrata once began to consider that although he had fully surrendered to the great saint Narad and was actually on the path of Krishna consciousness, he had somehow become again entangled in material activities. Thus his mind now became restless, and he began to speak in a spirit of renunciation. Please repeat after me. While enjoying his material opulences, with full strength and influence, Maharaj Priyavrata once began to consider that although he had fully surrendered to the great Saint Narada and was actually on the path of Krishna consciousness, he had somehow become again entangled in material activities. Thus his mind now became restless, and he began to speak in a spirit of renunciation. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17, it is said, Chaktvasa dharman charanam bhujam harer bhajana vakto ta patetato yadi yatrakvava bhajam abud amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. If one somehow or other comes to the shelter of a great Vaishnava, takes to Krishna consciousness because of sentiment or realization, but in course of time falls down because of immature understanding, he is not actually fallen, for his having engaged in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset. If one falls down, therefore, his progress might be checked for a certain time, but it will again become manifest at an opportune moment. Although Priyavrata Maharaj was serving according to the instructions of Narada Muni, meant for going back home, back to Godhead, he returned to material affairs at the request of his father. In due course of time, however, his consciousness for serving Krishna reawakened by the grace of his spiritual master, Narada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brasto Vijayate. One who falls down from the process of bhakti yoga is again offered the opulence of the demigods, and after enjoying such material opulence, he is given a chance to take birth in a noble family of a pure brahmana or in a rich family, to be given the chance to revive his Krishna consciousness. This has actually happened in the life of Priyavrata. He is a most glorious example of this truth. In due course of time, he no longer wanted to enjoy his material opulences and his wife, kingdom, and sons. Instead, he wanted to renounce them all. Therefore, after having described the material opulences of Maharaj Priyavrata, Shukadeva Goswami in this verse describes his tendency for renunciation. The words Devarshi Charanam Shayana indicate that Maharaj Priyavrata, having fully surrendered to the great sage Devarshi Narada, was strictly following all the devotional processes and regulative principles under his direction. In regard to strictly following the regulative principles, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dandavat pranamas tan anupitaha. By immediately offering obeisances, dandavat, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his directions, the student becomes advanced. Maharaj Priyavrata was doing all these things regularly. As long as one is in the material world, he has to be under the influence of the modes of material nature, guna visarga. It is not that Maharaj Priyavrata was freed from material influence because he possessed all material opulences. In this material world, both the very poor man and the very rich man are under material influences. For both wealth and poverty are creations of the modes of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha. According to the modes of material nature we acquire, the material nature gives us facility for material enjoyment. Sa eva apriyamitta bala parakrama ikada tu devarshi charananushayan nu patita guna visarga samsargena nivrittam ivatmanam nanyamana atmanirvedam idam aha. Om Jnanatimandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kiramayam Dati Svapanamikam Vandeham Shri Gurve Shri Yukta Parakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadhetam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Radhika Shri Vishakandatamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwamanu Sudevi Karunami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswate Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astyata Vishatane Vansha Kalpataru Vyascha Vipasindu Devacha Patitanam Vayayo Vaishnaveyo Namo Namah
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dhinaparanam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Hare Krishna. Before we begin, let us offer a prayer at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna and Shri Gornitai Shishi Radha Manohar Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, on behalf of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, who is still in intensive care in Delhi, and we pray that the Lord will keep Jayapataka Swami Maharaj with us for a longer period of time so he can continue to benefit the world with Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Krishna. I heard a story that when Jayapataka Maharaj was in Montreal, he used to chant very loudly. And he was chanting so loudly in the japa that devotees, they asked him to go on the terrace, on the roof, to chant loudly. And he would just chant and fill up Montreal with the sound of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Before I begin, I'd like to ask the blessings of all the devotees that are present, that I can speak for my own purification. Please give me your blessings. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, in today's discussion, we'd like to discuss how prevention is better than cure. And although one can recover from a fall down, then it is better to try to avoid falling down in the first place. It's better not to fall down. So we'll discuss how to stay fixed on the path of devotional service, according to Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this section of Srila Bhagavatam, we're hearing how King Priyavrata, although he was living a very renounced life, at the request of his father, Lord Brahma, he undertook taking care of a large, opulent kingdom. He had a lot of power, a lot of wealth, beautiful wife, sons. And now in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing that again he's considering renunciation. He's coming back to trying to simplify his life and focus more on the core aspects of Krishna consciousness. We can take inspiration from this. In today's verse, we're hearing that he's enjoying his material opulences. He has full strength. He has so much influence. But he's thinking that, you know, I've surrendered to my guru, Narada Muni, and I'm on the path of Krishna consciousness, but somehow there are so many entanglements. There are so many distractions from my Krishna consciousness, so many alternative aspects, still dealing with so much material energy and not becoming fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So he's this desire, this ichha, desire, his mind is becoming restless because of this. And the desire is coming up in his heart that let me again become more and more renounced. And in the following verses, he'll begin to speak about the importance of renunciation, the glories of renunciation, and his desire to again become more and more renounced. In the purport today, Srila Prabhupada discusses that even though one may be practicing one's occupational duties, if he's not successful as a devotee, still everything is good. He has his Krishna consciousness. But if one is practicing one's occupational duties without practicing Krishna consciousness, even if he performs those duties perfectly, still he's not gaining anything. And Srila Prabhupada gives a nice story in this regard of the scholar and the boatman. There was a scholar, and he wanted to cross the Ganges. So he approached the boatman and said, "Boatman, please row me across the river." So the boatman said, "Yes, please come in, sit down." So the boatman began to row. And as he was rowing, they came to the middle of the river. The scholar said, "My dear boatman, do you know about geography?" And the boatman said, "I have no idea." And the scholar said, "Your life is 25% wasted." And the scholar continued to row. The boatman continued to row. And they came further across. And the scholar asked the boatman, "My dear boatman, do you know about the chemical properties? Have you studied chemistry?" And the boatman said, "No." And the scholar said, "Your life is 50% wasted." And the boatman continued to row. And the scholar said, "Do you know anything about political science?" And the boatman said, "No." And the scholar said, "Your life is 75% wasted." And the boatman continued rowing. They were almost across. And big storm clouds came in the sky. And there was big thunder. And it started to rain. And the boat began filling up with water. And the boat started to sink. And the scholar was asked by the boatman, "My dear scholar, do you know swimming?" And the scholar said, "No." And the boatman said, "Your life is 100% wasted." So like this, the essential aspect of life is Krishna consciousness. And no matter what else we may know, if we don't have that Krishna consciousness, it is all shrama evahi kevalam. It is all a useless waste of time. So sometimes we're pursuing our Krishna consciousness, but we come across obstacles. We come across what appear to be temporary setbacks. We may become deviated from the path for some reason. And actually, Arjuna asked this question of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He asks, "My dear Krishna, what is the fate of an unsuccessful yogi?" And Lord Krishna replies, "Neha vikrama nashosti pratyavaya na vidyate svapapam apasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat." He says, "In this endeavor, there's no loss, there's no diminution, and a little advancement on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear." So what is this most dangerous type of fear? And that is taking birth in the animal species. Because we have a human form of life. Animals do four things: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Human beings do the same four things. Plus, atato brahma jigyasyat, inquiry about the absolute truth. And if we take birth in the animal kingdom, it will be very difficult to continue our bhakti, to consider our pursuit of devotional service. So, but by practicing bhakti, even a little advance, swa alpam, alpam means it's a small amount, swa alpam api dharmasya, even if you just do a little bit of this proper dharma, bhakti, then you will remain fixed on this path. It's like a bhakti bank account. Whatever we have in this life, we can't take it with us at the time of death, materially speaking. However, whatever we get in bhakti, we can bring with us to the next life. So even if we're not fully successful even in this whole lifetime, then still we'll continue in our next lifetime in the path of bhakti. There was a there was a woman, Christian woman, and her husband was getting ready to die. And her husband told her, when I die, take all the money out of my bank account and put it in the coffin with me and bury my money with me. And then she said, what will happen to me? How will I be taken care of? And he said, just follow the order of your husband. Just do what I say. So she was in great anxiety. What should I do? So it came the time her husband died. So his body was in the coffin. And she had discussed with her friends, what should I do? Some of her friends said, give the money. Some of the friends said, keep the money. So she didn't know what to do. So then her husband is in the coffin and they're about to put him in the ground. And there's one last darshan. And she comes up to see him. And she goes running in with a brown paper envelope and puts it in the coffin. And they nail the coffin shut. And they put the coffin in the ground and they start throwing dirt on the coffin. And the lady's crying and the relatives are crying and all the friends are crying. And then her friends come up to her and say, what did you do? What did you do? And she said, my husband told me. I went to the bank. I got a check. I put it in the coffin. If he can cash it, he can spend it. But we can't take materialistic things with us to the next life. But whatever we get in bhakti, neha vikrama nashasti, that we can carry with us to the next life. Our bhakti bank account stays with us. And what happens if we do bhakti in this life and we have to take birth again? Then Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport, Bhagavad Gita 6.41. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. That one will take birth in a family of brahmanas or a wealthy family, and one will have the opportunity to easily take up this process of Krishna consciousness again. So we can understand why brahmana's house is good, because wherever there's brahmanas, there are scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the worship of the Lord. So this is very favorable. However, why is it good to take birth in a wealthy person's family? It seems like it could be problematic, especially in Kali Yuga in the West, if you take birth in a Brahmin in a wealthy family. And I see, especially in my travels in the Middle East, where people have a lot of money and they don't know what to do with it, they get themselves in a lot of trouble. And actually, there's a big problem with drug abuse in the Middle East amongst housewives. Because they're staying home, they have so much money, they have nothing to do. And they're just getting intoxicated on illegal drugs. So it seems problematic, actually, to be born in a wealthy family. But in traditional India, a wealthy family is advantageous because they keep the deity and they spend their money on worshiping the deity. Like we see in Srila Prabhupada's family, the Mullicks. The wealthy Mullick mercantile class in Kolkata. They had a big temple of Radha Govinda. And everyone in the family had to go every morning for darshan. And if you were late for Mangalartik, you had to pay a fine to, I think the grandfather was collecting the fine. So in traditional Vedic culture, being wealthy is an advantage because that gives great facility for worship of the deity. And that is why it's good to be born in a wealthy family. Today in Kali Yuga, maybe not so good. But we encourage, as faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, to try to inspire people of this world today to keep the deity at home, especially Gornitai. Prabhupada wanted these Gornitai deities distributed and people to worship the deity at home. And by this way, their lives would become purified. And they could become more Krishna conscious. Even working hard, they could go to work and say, I'm working hard, but I'm working to get money so that I can support my griha. And who is in charge of my griha? Thakurji, Krishna, Gornitai. And they buy bhoga, and the bhoga is offered to Gornitai. And this way, their entire life becomes Krishnized. So this way, it's very advantageous to worship the deity at home. Of course, it's also advantageous if we have the facility of a Krishna conscious center, a temple near us, that we can come to the temple and worship the deity here. Prabhupada also encouraged that very much. And we can support the deity worship. So it can become very, very opulent. I was hearing yesterday in the Sunday feast program how we were getting pledges for the Rath Yatra. One devotee was pledging $100. One devotee was pledging $500. One devotee pledged $700. I was thinking, why no one is pledging $5 million? You know, if we had $5 million getting pledges like that, why we're not hearing City of Montreal, Parks and Recreation Department, $300,000. This is the kind of pledges that we should be hearing. And this way we could have such a grand festival to glorify Lord Jagannath. Because we're trying to be the brahmanas and promoting Brahminical culture, the worship of the deity, the promoting of spiritual festivals. The government is the kshatriyas. They have the treasury. They should be cooperating with us and giving large amount of money in order to facilitate Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada met with one of the directors of the police department in Chicago. And the Chicago police director asked Prabhupada how we can stop crime. Prabhupada said, just give us money, we'll conduct Sankirtan festivals, we'll distribute prasadam, and the crime will be reduced. And we see every time there's a Jagannath Rath Yatra, the crime rate in the city goes down. I had the good fortune to be in Union Square, New York City, for 7 months with His Grace Ram Roy Prabhu. We started this daily Harinam Sankirtan. Now, Union Square is one of the roughest parts of New York. Everyone is drunk, intoxicated. There's all kinds of fights going on. You know, but when we would do kirtan, everyone would become more peaceful. And when we would stop, then things would go crazy. I remember one night we stopped, we were packing up, someone started throwing glass bottles, and one guy got hit in the head with a glass bottle, and all the police are going wild. Another time, just behind us, we're staying, like all these homeless people, all these drug addicts, and they became a little bit resentful, because every day we come, we take the spot, and we would chant. So they decided to make life difficult for us. So before we could set up, they took all kinds of beer and alcohol and they were pouring it around the area. They were contaminating the Yajnastali, you know, the place. And they were making all kinds of trouble. So we were like, what to do? But just within 5 minutes of them making this big apparad, immediately a fight began breaking up, you know, breaking out among themselves. And they started beating each other up. And one guy, he took a skateboard and like hit another guy right in the head with his skateboard, you know, like wham. And then two girls started fighting and one girl punched the other girl. And then, you know, one guy punched the girl and it was just right in the face, you know. They were really beating each other up, you know, like with the skateboard, like, you know, right on the head. And then all these police convened on the scene, you know, and just took them all away. So in this way, we see whenever there's chanting of Hare Krishna, things are peaceful. But whenever there's not chanting of Hare Krishna, things are very, very, very chaotic. So we should avoid offending the devotees in the Sankirtan movement. Then we can stay clearly on this path. Apichatsu Duracharo. Bhajate mam ananya bhak. Even if we do the most horrible, abominable activity, if we just stay on the path, then we can be successful in Krishna consciousness. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Krishna says in Gita that my devotee never perishes. He will always be successful. So we should be determined in devotional service, even if it seems that we're having some difficulty, some fall down. We should just get up and keep going. If at first you don't succeed, try again. It's like that engine. I read this story, my mother read this story to me when I was a small boy. The little engine that could. This small train was trying to climb the mountain and struggling and then keep trying. And it's chugging along. I think I can. Then it reaches its goal. So like that little engine, we should just keep trying to reach the goal of Krishna consciousness. So how to prevent the fall down? Madhyam Adhikari understands four relationships. He worships Krishna. He makes friends with devotees. He is compassionate to the innocent, and he avoids the envious people. So if we can have healthy relationships on these levels, we should continue our worship of Krishna, and most importantly, make friends with devotees, cultivating our Vaishnava relationships. This is essential. We should have good sadhana. When I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor as a new bhakta, I was trained by my bhakta leader that every day I had to be in the full morning program from Mangalarti to Prasadam. And if I wanted to leave the temple at any time, even to go to the bathroom, I had to ask permission. So it was very, very strict. And there was no toleration. Oh, I'm tired, I want to go take rest during the morning program. They would never tolerate it. Even I was at the point of tears sometimes. Please, let me go and sleep. No, you have to maintain it. They were very strict. But from that sense of discipline, I got the good habit of always maintaining morning program throughout my Krishna conscious career, whenever opportunity for morning program is there. Now I preach in the Middle East in different places where there are no temples. Sometimes it's morning program is compromised. But whenever I have the opportunity, and for so many years, I developed that good habit. So the strong sadhana is like an inoculation. If the doctor is going to go into a place where there's an epidemic, in order that the doctor doesn't get sick, first he'll give himself an inoculation so he won't get sick going to that contaminated place. So the same way, our morning program, association with devotees, and Krishna conscious practices, this is an inoculation. When we go out in the material world and interact with the materialistic society to try to give them Krishna consciousness. So try to keep a high level of Krishna consciousness in the bloodstream at all times. And a good morning program in the association with devotees will help us to achieve that. Then we should try to avoid offenses, aparad. Apa Radha. Apa means against, and Radha means Srimati Radharani. So if we do something against Srimati Radharani, that's known as aparadha, aparad. So one way we can avoid offenses is that we should try to cultivate at all times, be conscious of the service attitude and not try to have an enjoying attitude. If we try to enjoy, then we'll try to lord it over others, and that cultivates offenses. But if we can always try to maintain a seva bhav, gopi bhartor padakamalayor das dasanu dasaha, that we're always the servants of the devotees, then this will help us to avoid offenses. As in the mood of a servant, then it's very helpful. We can have a better chance of avoiding offenses. It said, don't try to be a great devotee. Try to be a good devotee. We shouldn't try to be some superstar, extra special, unique individual. We should just try to be part of the team. Be team players. Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful ship of ISKCON, that is sailing across the material existence and bringing as many people on board as possible. And we don't have to play some big role, like be the propeller on the ship or something. If we can just play some small parts, just do a small role in cooperation with the other devotees, working as a team, then this is very, very favorable and pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. Srila Prabhupada always gives the example of akshara. When you're useless, when you become detached from Krishna consciousness, it's like a small screw is in the machine, and that screw has value. But if the screw is detached, then it has no value. But if the screw is in the machine, it has value. The screw may be very small, but it has value. So we can be happy and satisfied just to have some small role, just to be the cartel player, or just to, you know, do some cleaning, or whatever the authorities ask us to do, that we somehow all fit together like a jigsaw puzzle and create a beautiful picture of the movement of Krishna consciousness. This is very beneficial. So don't try to be some big great thing. Just try to play some small role as a servant of the devotees, as part of the greater team. This is very powerful. This will help us avoid offenses. We'll work together, help each other. And we should understand that in association with devotees, there are three different levels. We associate with our with those that are superior to us, those that are our seniors, those that are our peers on the same level, and those that are subordinates to us, those that are junior devotees. So we should have healthy relationships in all three of these different relationships. We should spend time with seniors, spend time with peers, and spend time with subordinates, helping them. This will also help us keep a healthy balance in our relationships. And of all of these three relationships, our relationships with our peers is the most important. We should spend the most time with our peers, those that are at a similar level, and share our hearts with them and develop friendships, deep friendships with them. Because also our peers, they can also help us and correct us when we're having difficulties. Our peers, it's called peer association. And it's very, very important. And our peers can help us through our difficult times. Because difficult times will come. This material world is no place for a gentleman. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva shaha ahankara vimuratma kartaham iti manyate. And mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shashkani indriyani prakriti stani karsha. This prakriti stani, this material world, this stan, this place of material nature, prakriti stani, is karshati. It's very, very difficult. So we need each other. We need our relationships, especially with peers, also the mercy and blessings of seniors, and also the ability and benefit from being able to try to help juniors. So Prabhupada also mentions another point in this purport, and that is we need to be fixed in the order of the spiritual master. That will help us become free of fall down. That will help us be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada came to North America without any association, no god brothers. His guru wasn't here. He was alone, but he was fixed in the order of the spiritual master. And he was very, very inspired by one Bhagavad Gita shloka with a purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Vyavasyayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahu shakka hyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam.
That one should be one-pointed, ekeha kuru nandana. One should be one-pointed in one's determination, fixed on the order of the spiritual master. Because those whose intelligence is many-branched, they're completely irresolute. We want to be resolute in purpose. There's a beautiful example given that the spiritual master's order should be worshipped like the deity.
on the altar of one's heart, and one should regularly offer puja to the instructions of the spiritual master. So regular meditation on the order and worship of the order of the spiritual master, his instructions, will help us to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also mentions, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dandavat pranamas tan anupatihi. He quotes this in the purport. He says, by immediately offering obeisances, dandavat, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his directions, the student becomes advanced. Therefore, this Guru Puja is very important. We offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada, dandavat, and mantra. Minimum standard for Guru Puja is pranam and pushpa, is dandavat and offering some flower. So this will also help us become advanced. It's not just a physical exercise. It's a regular principle. So we see that by staying in the association of devotees, it acts like a fence to protect our bhakti creeper. Just like if you're trying to grow a plant, you may put a fence around the plant to protect the plant from goats and other animals from eating that plant. So similarly, our bhakti creeper is growing, and we put the association of devotees around us like a fence to help us protect our bhakti creeper. Therefore, the association of devotees is so important. Without the association of devotees, we could do anything. We could sleep as late as we want. But we have the association of devotees. We know someone's going to come knocking on our door and say, please, Ekalavya, get up, Jeev Jago. And we have that wonderful opportunity. We see the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was a king. He left his kingdom, just like King Priyavrata. And he was in the forest performing austerities and sadhana, bhakti. He came to the platform of bhava. He was so advanced. But then one day, a mother deer was crossing the river, and a lion roared. And the deer got so afraid that she jumped across the river, and she was pregnant, and a baby deer fell into the water. She had a miscarriage. So King Bharat Maharaj, he pulled the baby deer out of the water and began taking care of the deer, feeding the deer, petting the deer, giving the deer water, and sleeping with the deer, and doing all kinds of things with the deer. And he became, instead of Krishna consciousness, he became deer conscious. He'd be chanting his japa, and the deer would come up and ask for some affection and attention, and he was starting to neglect his sadhana and give his attention to the deer. And then one day, the deer left, and he was in anxiety. Oh deer, where is the deer? And he was just in so much trepidation and so much fear. And did something happen to the deer? Did some lion eat the deer? Is the deer hurt? And he fell into a ditch looking for the deer, and he was going to die. And the last thing he saw was the deer. And the next birth he took was as a deer. Right, oh dear. So would this have happened if Bharat Maharaj was in the association of devotees? Someone would have said, Bharat Prabhu, you're in Maya. You're spending so much time with this deer. Come on, let's go on Harinam. They would have brought him out of Maya and helped him focus on his spiritual life. So Bharat Maharaj's mistake was that he was practicing spiritual life without the association of devotees. So of all the factors for not falling down, to try to prevent fall down, and even if we do fall down, to try to come back, the most important factor is the association of devotees. So we're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada because he's given us this wonderful facility of ISKCON, where practically anywhere in the world we go, we can find association of devotees to help us in our spiritual life, to guard us and protect us, to help us prevent fall down, and to give us all impetus for progressing in spiritual life so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Just thank you for that description of association with devotees, how it's like a fence around there. It's very nice. It's very nice. And a good reminder. Thank you for mentioning that.
Sure. Sometimes we take the association for devotees for granted. Sometimes we think, especially in India, sometimes we think there are too many devotees. But actually the association of devotees is such a valuable and sacred thing. Even when there's many or when there's a few, it's always wonderful. The waves of the Ganges, some are great, some are small, but all are transcendental. So the Asanga of Bhaktas, whether it's so many or just a few, is always transcendental. I was in Ireland, in Dublin. I was a busker before I became a full-time devotee. And three devotees came down the street on Harinam. One was playing mridanga, one was playing kartals, and one had a big basket of sweet balls. And I received one of those sweet balls, and that small, relatively small Harinam of only three devotees, it really made a big impact on my heart. So the association of devotees is so powerful. Whether it's 1,000 devotees, whether it's 5,000 devotees in Mayapur, or 10,000, the new TOVP, the temple mandap, Darshan mandap, will have capacity for 10,000 devotees at one time. So whether it's 10,000 devotees chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Or whether it's 20, 30 devotees chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada said, as long as we're chanting Hare Krishna, you can be on one side of the world, I could be on the other side of the world, we'll all be packed up together. And even Srila Prabhupada is physically not even present in the world now, although some perhaps could debate that. But still, because we're all chanting together, we're all connected. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu? Yes,
Prabhu? You mentioned about that in New York, when there was so much disturbances and the chanting really, you know, brings down the crime.
Yeah.
And also happened in Prabhupada when he was in Calcutta, there was a Naxalite, and the devotees were discouraging Prabhupada, you know, to continue any programs, but Prabhupada said, no, go ahead. And actually Prabhupada mentioned in some lecture that the crime actually dropped when Prabhupada was there and chanting of the Hare Krishna.
Yes. This is a point that comes up many times because everyone becomes happy and satisfied. Susukam kartam avyayam. They become happy and satisfied. And during our Rathiyatra festivals, during one festival, it was at one place, I don't remember where the Rathiyatra was, but the police were very happy. They were saying, this is a different kind of procession. In other kinds of gatherings, people would take stones and throw through the store windows, and this is not that kind of procession. And it's even was marked by the police chief, maybe it was in San Francisco, I'm not sure, it was in one Rathiyatra. He said the crime rate was lower because of the Rathiyatra, actually. So this can be documented. I think it would be an interesting study, like, I wanted to do this actually, to go to Union Square and see how many arrests and different criminal incidences there were before the devotees came and how many there are now. This would be a good statistic. It would be a good service because people in the materialistic world, they don't always accept scripture as authority, but they accept statistics. So if you can, this would be a very powerful statistic to help declare how powerful is Harinam for creating peace. Yes, Brihatmananda.
Just on this point, I mean, even there's a group, I don't know, either TM or something, they are in that area. And I mean, this is not even transcendental, but just by this concentrated meditation going on in this place, the crime rate dropped in this area. They documented all of this.
Yeah, the consciousness of one individual or a group of individuals affects others. I have this experience also in Chopati when we do japa circles, because the devotees are chanting in such a concentrated way, you have the association of devotees who are chanting japa so nicely, automatically your japa becomes more focused. So I consider it, when I chant japa with a group of devotees present, it's my responsibility to try to keep my consciousness pure so that I do not contaminate the consciousness of the other devotees who are chanting. So our consciousness will affect others, so we should do our best as a service to others to try to maintain a pure consciousness.
Prabhuji, it says in the purport that as long as one is in the material world, he has to be under the influence of the modes of material nature. So I was wondering, how does this apply to devotees?
Yeah, devotees are not, generally, we're still under the modes of material nature. It's very rare that a devotee will come to the Krishna consciousness point where he's so much on the platform of, he or she's so much on the platform of nishta, that he's just fixed in Krishna consciousness. Mamcha yovya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kapate. Sagunan samatityaitan, to overcome the modes. This requires, the qualification for that is mamcha yo avyabhicharena, to be situated bhakti yogena sevate, to be situated in bhakti yoga, avyabhicharena means unceasing, unflinching devotional service, you know, without a flicker of a desire for sense gratification. So generally, most of us are not on that platform. And those of us that come to that platform, we're not steady on that platform. We're affected by the modes. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we come back into the material mode, sometimes we're transcendental. Just like the ocean and the shore of the ocean. We're called tatastha shakti, which means marginal potency. It means that the water is wet and the land is dry. And the wave comes up and the shore in between becomes wet for a minute and then dry for a minute. Wet for a minute, dry for a minute. So generally, most devotees are in that phase of tatastha shakti, that sometimes we're transcendental, probably you more than me, and then sometimes, you know, we're in the modes of material nature, which is generally the case. So this is the situation. Most of us are at least occasionally under the modes of material nature, like that, and we should just have that understanding and be a little patient with each other, a little tolerant with each other, a little tolerant with ourselves, and just try to keep moving forward on the path, practicing Krishna consciousness. And as with any how-to question, how to overcome the modes, just by chanting Hare Krishna and performing devotional service. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
So I think maybe we can stop here, is that okay? Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. I'm grateful to all of you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai Gaur Premanande.
find the deity. The safest place in Krishna consciousness, you think you're the last, or you think you're the, you want everyone. This is a very good thing.
Just
put yourself in the first, then you look at everyone second, and you don't have others in second or third.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, it was great, it was fun.
Anything else?
I have to give a bus tonight. It's 7:30 here.
Okay.